For Nerds by Nerds production.
Welcome back to the For Nerds by Nerds podcast. I'm your host Josh, and the Halloween Spooktacular continues to roll on as today we are bringing you a commentary track for the Robert Rodriguez classic From Dusk Till Dawn. Joining me to do this show, the former host of the Jeff Needs Help podcast, the professional podcast guest himself, it's Jeff. Hi, buddy.
Hey, what's up, man? That's a great introduction. I told you, I love what I do now. I love being on here with you, finally. It feels like three years in the making for me to get on your show. You've done several of mine throughout the year, so great choice for a watch-along of this weird, wacky, for some reason successful kind of crazy crazy it's just a crazy movie. It's really doesn't make any sense. It's awesome.
It's fantastic. Yeah, I can't believe you have never been on here.
Yep.
Okay, just, we never worked that out
we
before.
Could never square. Yeah, you were always awesome and would come on mine, and then we could just never, you know, like obviously with all the sports stuff that I've done, you know, I'm, you know, most of it's me being busy and just lining up, but you've been doing a lot of great work. I, you know, still a big fan. I'm glad we stay in touch, and I'm glad we get to do this. It's one of my, it's why I can cross this one off my list of podcasts that I absolutely want to be on someday.
And we'll bring it back on. We'll do a sports movie. We'll do some fun
anytime, like
Super Bowl time.
Yeah, if anybody wants to go check out the old Jeff Needs Help podcast, it's still out there. Me and Josh did Rocky IV a couple years ago, which was a super fun movie to do. So go check that out.
Yes, it's very rad. Yeah, it's so weird that you don't do a podcast now because you have such a good hosting voice. I mean, you're made for radio.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Again, I'm lucky enough. I still have a lot of friends in the business. I still do a ton of shows throughout the weeks. I try to put them out there on my other feed, but it started becoming a little less fun. And I was like, that's not why I got into this business. And now to be on shows, you know, with, you know, people like you and great guests, and I still try to inspire, I still help people. I'm still part of the Off the Ball Network. I still help inspire and, you know, try to guide, you know, the team along. So I'm still very involved with it behind the scenes. It's kind of a weird place to be, but I'm enjoying it a lot.
Yeah, whatever keeps it fun, that's the most important thing. Yeah, sometimes it becomes a real drag, and it's like, it started feeling like
work that I wasn't getting paid for, and I was like, okay, something's got to give here.
Yeah, well, we're gonna have a good time today because
certainly are.
Is Rocky IV the only commentary you've ever done?
That's the only commentary I've done. You know, outside of just driving my wife nuts as we watch every movie that I've ever watched. Like, you don't want to watch
understand.
Pulp. Yeah, you don't want to watch Pulp Fiction with me because you won't hear a word they say.
Yeah, every movie I watch with somebody is a running commentary. That's I can't it. Shut it off now.
Yep, I was made to, whether it's sports or whether it's a movie, like I don't have an off switch. So my wife actually told me a couple months ago, she'd finally hit the wall. She's like, you either need to shut up or do more podcasts. It's your choice. So I was like, all right, more podcasts. True story.
Well, for any of you listening out there, if you've never listened to a commentary before, you do not have to watch along. I'm sure you've seen this movie. We try to pick movies that most people have seen so they don't have to watch. But if you want to, this movie is streaming on HBO Max. Well, that's where we are watching it. If you get it queued up to the 0 second mark, we'll do a countdown and then say play. On play, we'll all press play, and that's a good way to sync it up. But again, don't feel like you need to watch it. Everyone knows what happens in this movie. But all right, we'll get this started because it's a little bit of a long one. One, two, three, play. Dimension Films. Mid-90s, dude. Dimension was just crushing horror
dude,
movies.
Dude, my first thought when I started watching this was, like, it took me right back to this point in time. Like, this, you know, basically everything after... everything after like Pulp Fiction, like we were all just waiting for the next like quote unquote weird thing. I mean, you had The Usual Suspects came out in that time. You had, you know, the Robert Rodriguez movie started kicking up. So we were so thirsty, you know, for this type of movie. It's hard to explain
how
this
is a great time.
It was. It really was kicking. Miramax, Dimension, really, really kicking ass at that time.
What year is this? 96?
96. 95? This is 96. Yep. 96, and it's so
big year for Dimension then. Same year as Scream?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. They were kind of killing it. This is actually a really good scene, actually.
Is that
like
John Voight?
It is not. I really thought it was at the beginning. Let's see if my x-ray pops it up here. It is Michael Parks. I do not know the gentleman, but my guess is that
in glasses.
Yeah, yeah. My guess is that he's some longtime veteran actor.
He definitely looks familiar. It's hard to tell with that cowboy hat.
Yeah. I love that he goes and gets a beer out of the cooler. He's on duty as a Texas marshal, and he goes and just grabs a beer.
Cracks a beer. When you first saw it, did you see this in theaters? That's always a fun question.
I don't remember. If I didn't, I saw it right after, because I do remember when it came out. It was a huge deal. Like, it's hard to explain. Like, a movie like this, like, I think if you're younger and watching now, you would assume it was kind of a cult movie. This was a big, like, this was, I read, this was the number one movie the weekend it came out. Like, it was that big of a deal. I mean, George Clooney was just catching on fire, and Tarantino couldn't have been hotter, and it was just kind of a, it's really.
Yeah, I mean, Robert Rodriguez kind of got pushed to the wayside for this movie. I mean, everyone thinks this is a Quentin Tarantino movie just because he wrote it and he stars in it, but it's directed by Robert Rodriguez.
Yep. I read that this was the guy, I forget the guy's name, one of the, not the producer on it, but like maybe the guy gets a writing credit, because screenplay is by Tarantino, and this was Tarantino's first paid job to write a screenplay is what it said, which surprised me.
Now, did you know the twist going in the first time you watched it? Did you know it was
so I knew that
transform into what it transforms into?
Sort of, but that is the biggest thing about this movie, is that the one of the major twists in the history of movies. So like what happens is, like, you when you go into it, you think it's going to be one thing. You think it's a, you know, spoiler alert, you think it's a vampire movie. And then as it starts going on, you're like, oh, we were wrong. We were misled. It's really not. And so you actually think it's like, okay, we're watching, like, you know, this is going to be the movie. It's a bank robbery heist criminal movie. And you really kind of did get caught up in that. And then we'll talk about it here in about an hour. Shit goes sideways and it becomes a whole other movie.
And I would have taken a full movie of both. I like how well they do the whole just the robbery and hostage situation, and everyone acts so well. I'm like, I'm going to take a whole movie of this. And then fucking vampires show up.
It's
just like, what the fuck is going on?
I think it's half of a really, really, really good movie. And, you know, we'll never get to see it because you just can't catch lightning in a bottle again. But I think that there was a fantastic movie, you know, left there. It's really unique, and I suppose I think Rodriguez used it as a way to, like, he saw what his path was going to be, so that he went with it. And I don't know if you've, here we go. Another surprise too, as we're talking, this is George Clooney coming off of, ER fame as the doctor. I don't know if he's ever really done it. He didn't do a role like this before, and I don't really think he's done one after anything quite like this.
No, I mean, I feel like George Clooney is one of those actors that is mostly famous for just being famous.
Yep.
Like, he never did a ton of movies where it was, like, the biggest movie in the world and you can't believe it and George Clooney's on fire. Like, he did this, and then he did, like, Batman. And Batman was supposed to make him, like, the biggest star in the world, and Batman and Robin sucked.
It sure did.
He became more of a serious actor, but his serious films are always kind of these, like, art house kind of indie films. He never just does a regular fucking movie.
Shout out to the clerk in this scene. Great performance. This is where you think, like, it feels like a Tarantino movie, because he got this performance out of this actor.
Yeah.
He's like, I didn't say it. Like, I saw him mouth the words. He's like, at least I love how he's arguing with the homicidal maniacs.
I wish Clooney had done more roles like this, though. He's so good in this movie.
You know, nobody talks about it because it was so bad, but another movie that I don't want to say the word ruin, but really changed his direction is I don't know if you remember a movie called, he tried to make Peacemaker. Do you remember Peacemaker with him and Nicole Kidman?
Yes. Yep.
Yeah, and it was,
yeah, that was supposed to be this huge like action movie, but it's more of a like kind of like government procedural movie.
Yep.
Like they and advertised it like it was going to be like a James Bond film, and it's not.
100%. That's exactly what you thought. Like, oh, this is his, like, you know, James. This is his James Bond moment. And that movie sucked, and that's really when he was like, "Okay, we're not doing this. We're going to different." Out of Sight, though. That's to me. That's my number one George Clooney movie. This is
which one?
This whole five minutes is awesome. We got
to
talk.
We're straining believability here, though, to say that hey, you know who looks like George Clooney enough to play his brother. Quentin Tarantino.
I think it the whole time. I can't swear by it, but I think there's 1 second in the movie to where he alludes to they might have only one parent in common. It's much. We'll see when we get there. And as I'm reading, because I've got it up on, caption. We'll see if I see it better. Oh, this is a fantastic scene. This is the shootout in the gas station, if anybody knows where we're at here. So we've got a clerk that's been shot. Tarantino, the brother, has been shot through the hand. But I love this plan that Clooney comes up with. And I like this whole next scene because I know you two like stuntmen. This is a great stuntman scene.
I just love the way it's shot, like all these zoom-ins and stuff. Like
it looks great.
You can tell that Quentin Tarantino and Robert Rodriguez, like, this is why they went on to work together a lot, because they have a very big love for a very specific style of movies. Like, and it's no wonder they went on to do the Grindhouse films together.
Yes, and so do I. Like, I love it. Shoot the liquor bottles, and then Clooney tosses this. I mean, I just think this is a great, like, just to think of this scene, I think it's pretty cool. But then this is Stuntman Hall of Fame right here. He's like, "What do you want me to do, guys?" There it is, man on fire,
shooting.
That's a stuntman on fire that did that. Yeah. Like what a fantastic moment in stuntman history. That's
amazing.
Not CGI.
All the popcorn's popping.
I didn't even catch. That's great.
I haven't seen this movie all the way through in forever.
Oh, wow. You're in for some speed bumps because I forgot about so many things. I hadn't seen it. I honestly would say it's 20 years since I watched it unedited through.
Yeah. I've seen from when the vampires arrive, like, over and over and over
again. Yeah.
It's this beginning part that I haven't seen in such a long time.
I think it
sucks they never like brought this character back or anything,
right?
Or did anything with him.
Nope. And of all the spinoffs and everything,
fucking werewolves or something,
right? Yeah, I think they really did leave some meat on the bone with this franchise. Like, I know they did a lot of sequels and a TV series, but nothing ever captured the. But I mean, this looks like what we see, like with the Grindhouse and all that. Like, it looks like they were. I don't know. I guess maybe this was a great experiment to lead into some of the other stuff they did.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of Easter eggs in this, too, for Tarantino /Rodriguez fans. Like, the outfit Tarantino's wearing right there is obviously sort of a Reservoir Dog /Pulp Fiction. So many things throughout the movie.
Yeah, it's quite a thing for black suits in the 90s.
Yeah, what a lot of feet, you know, coming through.
Oh, yeah, as
the movie goes through.
Just these opening credits. I mean, this is Grindhouse as it comes here.
Right? They're awesome. And I don't know how you feel. Like, I don't know. Are you, like, where are you at? And, like, I know you like Rodriguez, I think. I think I've heard you mention that.
I like Rodriguez, yeah.
He's
a very specific director. I mean, he always has a vision, which I like.
I believe you brought up his Spy Kids a couple times in the maybe Spy the last Kids, show yeah. I listened to.
It's so weird. It's so weird that he does ultra violent films and then family friendly comedies. Like there's no in between. It's so odd.
Do you like the Desperado
yeah,
movies?
I love Desperado. I don't really like Once Upon a Time in Mexico very much, but I love Desperado.
Once Upon a Time in Mexico, is that the Johnny Depp one?
That's the sequel to Desperado with Johnny
Depp. What I thought. Yeah, that really, it felt like, yeah, that was, it kind of lost direction. But man, Desperado, I love.
Desperado. We could do that sometime. I fucking love that movie.
Oh, yeah, you definitely should. That's freaking great.
When the guys show up with the guitar cases and have machine guns and rocket launchers and shit.
Amazing.
And that's what I like about him. He always has this like kind of auteur stuff like, it's like comic book movies. Like, he takes these interesting ideas and brings them to life where you wouldn't expect them to be. Like,
yeah, that's a great point.
You have these, like, these films that seem like they're set in reality, but then they have these far-fetched elements that he has an eye to make them work very well.
And that's funny you say that, because I've said for years, because I'm a huge, you know, comic movie fan, and I've always said I would love for, like, one of these directors to get a hold of, like, you know, one of the more quote unquote R-rated comic book characters, you know, one of the, and really do a gritty, like a Punisher or something like that. Let one of these guys have it. I've always thought that there could really be something there.
Absolutely. Robert Rodriguez could direct like Blade.
That 100%. That would be a perfect one. Blade, Punisher, any of those, even a Daredevil. Like there's a world
to
where.
Especially if he did like a 70s Blade, original style Blade fighting like a blaxploitation film for
that
Blade.
Would be fantastic.
I think he'd do a phenomenal job of that.
But of course, then again, it's never going to happen now that those companies are so giant. We're lucky that you watch the Peacemaker series, right? Did me and you do that?
Great.
I don't know. Did me and you do the
show
on that?
We have definitely discussed it. I don't know if we did an episode on it.
Yeah.
We talk about it.
But man, what a great, you know, just to let them run a little bit. Oh, here we go. This is where. Another thing about this movie I really like is the character building, and it's not necessary, but I really appreciate it. Like, you know so much about these characters by the time you're like 10 minutes in, like the backstory, like their thoughts, their weird, weird belief system. Like right now you already know Tarantino's just a total creep. And you're like, one glance, Tarantino's creep.
Yeah, I mean, well, it doesn't help that he looks creepy as fuck.
It's so crazy
to think, though, he is such a good actor in this movie.
He's actually a really good actor.
He's not a fucking actor.
Speaking of, that was his scene in Desperado, right? Was that Once Upon a Time that he was in, where he does the joke at the bar?
I think that's Desperado.
Yeah,
he's in Pulp Fiction too, right?
For sure.
Pulp Fiction. Yeah.
That's Bonnie's situation. He's the Bonnie's husband that they have to clean the car up. The famous wolf scene. Yeah, he's great in it.
This was originally going to be. You remember all the Tales from the Crypt movies from the 90s?
I do.
Bordello of Blood and all those. There's three of them. Originally, this was supposed to be the first one.
Oh, that actually makes sense, really.
And then because things got switched up, and then I think Bordello of Blood wound up getting released first, and it did so poorly that they were like, nope, this script's too good. We're not going to waste it on a Tales from the Crypt movie.
Oh, that... I mean, honestly, good decision. Again, it's hard to explain. Like, I lived through it. What a weird success this movie was.
I discuss it all the time. Movies just don't look like this anymore.
No. You said that the other day. That was a great point. I heard on, you know, I think it was High on Horror when I was listening to it, and you were like, they just don't look. It was one of the, you guys were talking about Halloween.
Halloween 4. Yeah, that was on this
4.
Show. Yeah.
And just how it looks like a movie.
Yeah, 80s and 90s movies, they just something about the way they're filmed. Being shot on film is much different than being shot digitally.
Yes.
You lose some of that realness. Everything looks like it's produced.
Yep. It's almost
not
like
the angles, it's the lighting and the kind of not even graininess, just kind of like darker colors, like it's more vibrant and stuff. I don't know.
Yep.
You just will never ever recapture this ever. No,
they look like humans. Like right now, close up Clooney, he's giving the speech. You can see
the
imperfections,
the
pores, and now it's everything looks like everything looks like Star Wars. Like everything's, and I guess I mean I don't know I don't and you know that's like, I guess when Tarantino when he shot The Hateful Eight and like he did, maybe that's what he's kind of going for, something a little more. I don't know.
He shot that on film, right?
He shot it on 8mm. Yeah, 8mm. Was it 8mm or what? Yeah, maybe you would know better than I would. But and maybe that's why, you know. But yeah, you're right. The shading, the kind of man. This scene is rough. But what's funny is like this scene with him and the hostage. All this. To build all the backstory and let you know who this guy is. And honestly, it never really pays off. If you really think about it, you just know this about him, but it kind of is just like, that's who he is. I mean, it does pay off when we meet Juliette Lewis. That's now that I think about it. Yeah, that's important. But whoa, my wife was like, I don't think this was necessary. She had never seen this movie.
Is this Robert Rodriguez's direction of making fun of him for having a foot fetish?
Yes, absolutely. The entire movie. It does pay off one time, though.
Especially later, yeah.
that's what I'm talking about. I was like, all of a sudden, I also have a foot fetish. I love it. Harvey Keitel, a true legend, if you ask me. You like you a Keitel fan? You got it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Copland?
Dude, that was the next words out of my mouth. That movie is so. How do you describe a movie like Copland to where like you watch it and you're like, well, it wasn't really a good movie, but then you're like, I love that movie.
Just it's because like a modern Western.
Yeah.
It's like a lone gunslinger type of thing. Yeah. It's it's one of those movies where it's like the shit's so serious that it's like uncomfortable to enjoy.
Yeah, but like Keitel is just a monster in that movie. Just every scene he's in, he just owns it. And Stallone,
that scene where they pull him over and he's like telling what's her fucking name? She's a comedian, but she was
Garoppolo.
Yeah, Janine Garoppolo.
Yeah, because in case anybody doesn't
know,
see
that license plate, sweetheart. When you see that, you don't pull him over.
Yeah. What a weird choice. Anyway, we're not doing Copland, but man, what a weird choice for that movie. But this is Keitel, former preacher. He's obviously lost faith. He mentions his wife has died. And he's taken...
You know what I love Harvey Keitel in? Sister Act.
Sister Act. Man, I haven't seen that in a moon.
Love that movie. Fucking love that movie. Whoopi Goldberg.
Oh, yeah, it was a good movie. It's just one of those that I haven't seen in decades.
Yeah, he's the bad guy in that. He's Whoopi Goldberg's mobster boyfriend.
That's right. He's great as the Wolf, another character we never saw again. Like, we never got the Wolf from Pulp Fiction. I'm like, I'm here for a whole 10-part series on the Wolf and his backstory. Yeah. Nope. Juliette Lewis, another one of those, like, I think she's probably still considered, is she a character actor or is she slightly above that? I can't quite tell. She's
People try to act like she is, but I would consider her a character actor.
Me too, and a great one.
I also find I know a lot of people that were like, "Oh, back in the day, I thought she was gorgeous. I always thought she's fucking weird looking."
She is a weird, not weird, an odd mix of like everything she's in. Have you watched the TV show Yellow Jackets that she's in?
Oh, is she in that? No, I haven't. I've only heard good things about Yellow
Jackets. Yeah, it's a you would, I think you would enjoy it. It's a wild show, but she's, you know, she plays, you know, her current age in it, which she's roughly my age. She's like 50, 51, whatever. And even at that age, she's not classically like good looking, but she just has she just puts off a certain sex appeal for her entire life. Like at every age, even this show, like she just has it. Now, do you know who her dad is by any chance?
No.
So have you ever seen the Clint Eastwood movies, Any Which Way You Can, or Every Which Way But Loose, or whatever they're called.
When I was a kid, yeah, with a monkey.
Anyway, that's his buddy. His buddy is her dad.
Oh, really? No shit.
And he was in a lot of Clint Eastwood westerns, like back in the day, like in the 60s and 70s. Yeah, and if you see him, if you see him now, you're like, oh my gosh, I see it. That crazy bastard is her dad. I learned that not too long ago, but... I even like stuff like this where they're filming... So they're filming a, you know, obviously a fake news report about the bank robbery that we never see. And you learn so much about these guys and what they did. Like, it builds such a backstory, and it's just a filmed, like, fake news report. I just love the story building. Like, that woman right there, we never see her. Just it's a still photo of a probably an actress or what. And it's probably like Tarantino's niece or something. You know what I mean? That's probably something.
Yeah,
and yet you're like, I care so much about that girl getting ran over by a car all of a sudden. Like, I care so much. There's our guy. That's our.
Is this
crazy.
Kelly Preston?
Oh my gosh. Is it?
Looks like her.
Boy, it sure looks like her. They might have got it for that. Oh, I wonder if I can. I'll catch it real quick. It's one thing.
My John Saxon. More,
yeah, there's your dude. How about that?
John Saxon from Nightmare on Elm Street.
Yep. The news reporter's name was Amy. Amy. No, it's gone.
She's very attractive.
Yes. Yeah, my wife, understandably, was confused. She goes, hey, that's the guy from Quantum Leap, Dean Stockwell. And I was like, shout out right here. Do you catch the hamburger bag here?
I didn't see it. I was
laughing. Big Kahuna Burgers.
Oh, from Pulp Fiction?
A shout out to Pulp Fiction.
I love shit like that.
Me too. Especially
the combined universe.
Yep, that's... this scene is...
Have you heard the theory, which is pretty much confirmed, that all of the Quentin Tarantino movies, some of them take place in the same universe,
yeah.
And some of them are movies set inside the universe?
No, I haven't heard that part, but it's definitely a thing.
Yeah.
It's so funny because...
In Kill Bill, right?
Uh-huh.
Kill Bill is a movie set within the Pulp Fiction universe.
Because
Uma Thurman's character in Pulp Fiction is an actress, right?
Yep. Well, yeah, because she talks about making the pilot for the Fox Force 5.
Yeah. And there's a bunch of things throughout the series where you can like link it all together and tell which ones are movies and which ones are in the same universe instead.
Ugh, I like how they do these flashes here. So I think this, like, you know, obviously you're a horror film guy. I think this is this couple seconds, how they flash the
seven.
Blood. Yeah, yeah. I think this was really well done. Like, it's really creepy. Like, now you know, like, just what a devious creep this guy is. And Clooney's just appalled. I should call them by their names. I'm terrible about that. And he's eating. He's actually eating the burger as he's arguing about it. This is where I think Clooney paid off in this movie to be able to pull this off. Like, I think a lot of actors could have been this character, but I think you needed to have a real actor to care, like, to make you like feel this. I mean, that's intense.
Yeah, and that's what I mean. Like. That's why I don't like him just doing all these like political movies or like espionage movies. Like, give me some fucking intensity, Clooney.
Yep.
You got it in you.
Yeah, I think he's one of those actors that could have had another career, as you know. Like, that's why I always give credit. One of my favorite actors is Brad Pitt, and just for that reason, yeah. I really think that he took some swings and took some chances and did some stuff, and now we have that on like. We have it to see, like, as his career, you know, has moved into the later stages. Like, we have some awesome Brad Pitt. Like, he did California. You got to love California.
I haven't seen that.
Oh my. It's one of the best movies ever made. I'm not even exaggerating. It's David Duchovny, Brad Pitt, Juliette Lewis, and the other star lead is she's done a lot. I just can't remember. Carrie is her name. Oh my goodness! So I won't ruin anything. Just the plot is a guy is writing a movie about serial killers that existed, like the John Wayne Gacy's Texas Chainsaw Massacre that it's based on. So this guy's writing a book. He's traveling across country. He needs a couple to go with him to help pay for gas or whatever. Brad Pitt and Juliette Lewis sign up for that, and then the rest is movie history. I'm not even exaggerating when I say do not pass go. Watch it as soon as it's California with a K. It's really easy to find.
How old is this?
About this time. It had been probably 90, I guess 94. And it's basically the best of Duchovny, Pitt, and Juliette Lewis all in one movie. It is Brad Pitt's. It's as good as Brad Pitt can be in anything. It's a phenomenal movie, and it's like
I feel like once he got famous, he did the same thing as Clooney. Yeah. Like he got linked up with their little clique of friends, and then they all just kind of like did each other's movies and did whatever.
Yep.
Like he doesn't do regular movies either. He does. He's never just in like a fucking comedy or whatever. Like his most basic movie is probably Mr. and Mrs. Smith, and besides that, he does all these like indie art house fucking movies.
Yeah. But he did some stuff when he's younger, and I guess now he really shows up, and he's more kind of just being Brad Pitt. Watched a movie last year to where he's in it for like 10 minutes with Channing Tatum. It was a rom-com that was on. But anyway, his like 15 minutes are awesome, but it's pretty much just him being like the most handsome guy in the world for 10 minutes. But I guess Clooney.
Cool World?
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, such a weird movie.
He did, what was the one where, was it 12 Monkeys? He was 12 Monkeys, right?
He's in 12 Monkeys, yeah.
But then I do give him credit for like he also did, you know, Fight Club, which like that's what we're talking about. We never got that from Clooney, you know what I mean? Like he gave us a little. I'm surprised he never just became one of the like Marvel superhero guys. Like I really thought that he'd spend, you know, the last 10 years of his life making $1 billion off of terrible DC movies or something.
Clooney?
Either one of them. Like it just feels like it feels like they would just
Pitt
be like,
has
oh.
that literal 1 second scene in Deadpool 2.
Oh, that's right.
He gets electric.
That's right. He is in that. Yeah, credit to him.
Yeah, I mean, fucking George Clooney could play the president in the MCU or something.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he could. It's whatever. And I know he's got a production company and he's a director. I mean, the guy's won an Oscar as a director. I mean, I don't want to be too hard on him. It's just, it feels like I could have got more out of the star. Just look at it. I mean, this here, Juliette Lewis comes back from the pool and dude is just like, oh, wow. I didn't catch that when it was on audio. I sure did on caption.
He's just hallucinating.
Yeah, but I did not realize how gross it was.
Yep.
A lot of this is the Tarantino screenplay. I think he probably gets a lot of credit for especially the first hour of this movie.
Oh, I'm sure.
To really feel
they
like
probably split this right down the middle.
It feels like it, doesn't it? I don't know if any like he's really good at Tarantino's great at building drama. Like tension, not drama, tension, building tension in a scene, cuz you really know that like at any minute any of these actors could die. Like nobody's sacred in, you know, his movies.
Oh, yeah. I wonder how old Juliette Lewis is here, because I feel like they're putting her off as a teenager, and it's like...
So she would be...
She was like
just
17 in Christmas Vacation, like 10 years earlier.
Yeah, she's about 25. I think she was born... I was born in 75, and I want to say she was born a few years earlier, and this is 96, so it was made in 95. So she's about 24, 25 years old.
Yeah. She's great.
Yeah, Vacation, she was real close to her age in that one, you're right. And that was 89. Yeah. Yep.
She's great in Cape Fear, the remake of Cape
Fear.
Oh,
what a great... That's a really good... You know what? That we talked about this, you know, I text, you know, text you about it, how people shit on the reboots and the remakes and everything. That's a great remake.
Most remakes are good. I don't know where it gets this stigma of being bad.
I don't. Yeah. Like, what's this? Why does everything have to be sacred? Like who? Like okay. So there's two good versions of it. I like that's awesome.
Yeah, I don't know if it was just like the time period where most of them came out, because I'm sure there are bad ones, but like the bad ones, they're remakes of movies that aren't that great to fucking begin with.
Yeah. I just, like I guess
House
I don't.
House of Wax and shit like that. Who cares?
Oh my goodness. Yes. House of Wax, you're trying to capture the Paris Hilton phenomenon.
Like Amityville Horror. I like the remake of that.
I've never seen it. It's pretty good.
It's pretty good. Ryan Reynolds.
Ryan Reynolds, right? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I like the remake of the Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
I know we could talk about this for days, but the Rob Zombie Halloween movie, I freaking love it. I can separate
the
two.
I hate the second one.
Oh, yeah. Why can't we came to like the second one? Second one's up there with Rocky V as far as like it just really doesn't exist to me. I forced myself. You tried to stop me from watching it last October, and I was determined to watch every Halloween movie last October. I did regret it, and I will never watch it again. That is a terrible movie.
Yeah, it's such a pile of shit. I don't much like the beginning of the Rob Zombie remake of Halloween. Just because I don't want a bunch of detail like that. Like him just being a normal kid that snaps is more appealing to me than like this kid growing up in this horrible situation and becoming a serial killer. I'm just like, yeah, why wouldn't he become a serial killer?
That's fair. It does take away some of the I got
and
you.
And it's just that ultra shit that Rob Zombie can't help with in his movie. Like
yeah,
ultra
some of that
gross, ultra trash, like he just does it with everything. Everything has to be over the top and as offensive as possible.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Oh yeah, that's what I mean. Like it's definitely not like it didn't replace, you know, anything for me. It was another version. But I'm big about that with music. I'm big about that with everything. Like I love to see like somebody like do their version of something and see what it's like. Because I think I've always said there's a ton of movies that were almost good that if they could be remade would actually be some of the best movies ever that never got remade. And I'm like, man, like, you know, I've watched movies and been like, that could have been the best movie ever. And they just missed it by a minute. And if I wish they would remake them, but plus
And sometimes they do. And the remakes are worse. Like there's a really fun slasher movie from the 80s that we just covered on the show called Slumber Party Massacre.
Oh yeah, of course.
And the first time I watched it, I'm like, this could get a modern remake and be really, really good. And they like remade it on like Tubi or something like that. And it's shit. Like,
yeah, see, there's the downside of it. So I guess it goes both ways. But then I'm still not like, you shouldn't have remade it. Just don't watch it. Like it can just it can just not exist or just disappear. Like,
technology nowadays, you get a lot of cool things like fan edits. Like there is a fan edit on YouTube of Rob Zombie's Halloween. And it like takes out a lot of that beginning stuff. It starts with him like in the cop car after he's killed his sister, and then goes through the movie and like flashes back to scenes of him killing his sister and stuff.
Oh, yo, and, like, that would be
when he kills the nurse inside the sanitarium. She doesn't like talk shit to him first. Like they cut out all these excuses they basically give him to kill these horrible people, and just
that would be much
like he's just snapping and killing people. It's much better.
That would be much better.
I'll send you a link. It's on YouTube for free. So
yeah, that's dope. They did that with. I heard they did it with the Star Wars, the Jar Jar Binks movie, and cut out Jar Jar Binks, and it's actually like way more enjoyable to watch.
Yeah, I know Topher Grace from That 70s Show. He did an infamous cut of, like, I think he cut episodes 1, 2, and 3 together into one movie.
Oh.
And they played it for like one night once, and he won't show it ever again.
Oh, shout. That's what you do when you got that sick. You got that syndicated sitcom money.
That's true.
So this is where Clooney and Keitel are making a deal. He'll let him go. He won't let him touch his daughter, which he clearly up right here.
Jesus, what a creepy staring at the feet.
There's the feet.
Yeah, he is.
Oh, man.
What a weirdo.
Yeah.
He's probably like, this is the best day of my life.
He's like, how many shots do we need at the feet? To me, though, the best one is Jackie Brown, Bridget Fonda's feet in that movie. they show him several times. Bridget Fonda is on 10 in that movie. Like, she's like,
she
if I was Bridget Fonda, I would go back and just watch that movie to be like, man, this was as good as I could get. Like, she is phenomenal in that movie.
I saw her not too long ago. She's like enormous now.
What?
And someone was like, she saw her at the airport, and they were like, you coming back to acting? She's like, God, no.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
I thought she just kind of, I don't know, took money and just chilled out.
Yeah, of course, chilling out at Dairy Queen, apparently.
Of course, enormous and movie actress's standards is also a pretty low bar anyway, so... Ugh. I do think that this, I guess with the payoff mostly with the hotel and the hostage is that we've established now that Clooney understands his brother's kind of a creep. So I think that helps later on when like things go sideways that he's not like hopeless. Like he understands his brother's not perfect.
It's not the biggest loss when he gets rid of it.
There you go. Yeah, I just try not to give everything away in case somebody's watching along, but I think that does help with like, eh.
Yeah, get in the bathroom. They'll never check there.
Yeah.
You're in a Winnebago. They're going to crack every...
That's what I wondered about that. They're like, oh, no, they won't. Of course, I will say it was much easier to cross borders in the 90s.
Yeah.
You could just drive into Canada and shit, like, but not in a Winnebago.
I mean, they definitely check the bathroom.
they're definitely gonna look. Here comes our man, the star of the movie.
But also, I call bullshit on this. They'd definitely be more worried about people bringing drugs out of Mexico than into Mexico.
Who's bringing drugs into Mexico? I think that still holds true. Biggest RV bathroom too in the world.
There's a window. What if they see you from the outside?
Yeah. Yeah, this is pretty good.
Yeah, I really like the entire cast of this movie. I feel like it's done so well. It was so well like plotted. Like, and there's a lot of actors in this later on, especially that it's like, oh yeah, these are like, you know.
Oh, they became
D-list actors, but they do such a great job. They're like perfectly cherry picked for what they were made for.
Yep, I think Tarantino's all, or I'd not give all the credit to him, Rodriguez. This whole family of directors is they're always really good at like getting the character down, like. Cheech Marin, come on, the legend. Yeah. Talk about a fantastic actor, Cheech Marin.
Cheech Marin, yeah. Fucking love Cheech.
Oh, my goodness.
I never noticed he had like a hair lip before.
Well, he's usually got a mustache.
Well, that's true.
He's typically got a mustache. Shout out to him for getting, I don't know how many seasons of Walker Texas Ranger money. What a hero. The guy can do anything.
No, he was on Nash Bridges.
Oh, is that it? Yes, Don Johnson. Hell yeah.
Fucking Don Johnson.
Don Johnson. Another great actor.
He's the type of actor, too, that would show up in something like this. Like...
Yeah,
they take a lot of kind of like nostalgic actors and be like, yeah, we got a role for you.
Yep. And I love
feel like
that.
Tarantino's done that in his entire career. Like, look, he's got, what's her name? Is it Judy Greer? Is Jackie Brown?
Pam Greer, the legendary thighs of Pam Greer.
Yeah. Whew. Yeah, he took her out of obscurity and gave her the leading role.
Yeah, she was. Yeah, she was done for years.
Knocks it out of the fucking park.
Oh, crushes it. Do you? It's Pam Grier, man. I like the I grew up like that was a great scene too when his brother's just like flipping out.
Knock his brother out.
He does such a good job of like shut up. Like he makes you like. Tarantino really does a good job in this movie.
Yeah. Yeah, I love Pam Grier. She played Amanda Waller on Smallville.
Yes. That's a good version of Amanda Waller, actually. She's still dead sexy. But look at this. Look at the glance down. Oh, these creeps. Gosh, it's just... The one last glance right here, right there, like that has to be like purposeful. Because he could have went, and no, he takes one last peek. Oh.
He's just got his unconscious brother pinned up on him.
Such a frantic movie. It's so good.
He got through. Viva la Mexico.
But like I say, I think only not only Clooney, but like it took a guy like Clooney to really pull that off. I mean, there's other actors, but thank goodness that because Clooney at this time was getting like you say he was about to be Batman. He didn't have to do this, but he had faith in it, and then it turned out. And this is a movie
no one was going to turn down a role that Tarantino
at that
was
time. That's
with.
A good point.
At this time.
He was steaming. Yeah, because Jackie Brown was... Pulp Fiction was 93, so yeah, this was... Was Jackie Brown... This is about the same time, because it was
Jackie
just...
Jackie Brown's probably 95, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. He's steaming hot at this point. Good point. And that's how we were going to the theater, too. Like, I remember, like, you know, I was, 21 or whatever, and being like... This movie come out like we all like it was on our radar. This wasn't like obscure. It kind of feels like I say again. I imagine somebody watching it now would be like, oh, this is kind of a cult. Like, no, this was a big movie talked about, anticipated. This was anticipated for such a crazy movie. It was anticipated.
I'm calling it now. We should get a sequel. It's George Clooney's character from this. And Antonio Banderas' character from Desperado.
Oh, my
and
gosh.
They're fighting werewolves or chupacabras or something.
Chupacabras. Shout out to the chupacabras.
Down in Mexico. Yeah.
Yep.
You could probably wrap some, bring Machete in. Danny Trejo's Machete.
Dude, Danny. As soon as I, like, Danny Trejo makes everything he's in better. I watched.
I fucking love Danny Trejo. He's getting old. We're gonna lose him eventually.
Yeah, I know, man.
He's much older than he looks. But
which is hard. It's hard to be older than Danny Trejo looks, and he actually is. He showed up. I've been rewatching Baywatch over the last couple years. I'm through like season five. It's like season two. Danny Trejo shows up. It's like. A kid's, of course, obviously, Baywatch is just stereotypes and racist as hell. And of course, Danny Trejo is like the leader of like a Mexican biker gang trying to raise a kid or something. Like it's as clear. It is just as, and he nails it. Like he nails it as the father that, you know, realizes how important his son is to him and all this. It's crazy. But when he shows up and I'm like, is that Danny Trejo on Baywatch? What the hell just happened? I think it was one of his first roles, actually. They said, "Oh, here we go.
Titty twister.
This is insane. Like you, this is where Rodriguez is like, stand back. Like we are.
My time to shine.
Can you imagine? Like they give this script to Cheech Marin, and they're like, here you go, and he's got to go 10 minutes of freaking."
He's playing numerous characters in this movie.
Yeah, three. He's got three characters in this movie. But look at this. This scene is off the charts. Spanish, yellow, like hot, cold. Oh my! Smelly. How do you commit like this? He had to have stopped and started laughing 10 times. Horse, dog, chicken.
He's talking about vajayjay, people.
Yeah, yeah. And he's not saying vajayjay, unfortunately. It is coming at, like, this scene. This is when you ask, you, like, you know, when we watch it, if we knew. This was the moment to where you started going, what's, we were just having, like, a, you know, like a gritty bank robber movie. And what just happened when we got to the titty twister? Something's about to happen.
Why are they meeting this guy? Like, what are they going to do? They rob somebody, right? Or they just escape prison?
So they have the money, and they're the guy they're meeting, Carlos, they're supposed to meet him in the morning, and then they're going to El Rey to hide out. He's taking them to the hideout, and then they're just, I think they're giving him like a cut of the money, or... They don't really explain why they need to do that. I think you're supposed to...
They're in Mexico. Just go do whatever you want.
That's the part that, like... They never explain it. They just say, we're going to El Rey. Maybe they... Yeah, I don't know why. Like, they're already kind of... they're free, basically. You know what I mean? They got away with it. Oh, they can... And Harvey Keitel brings that up a couple times. There's a great scene here in a minute. They talk about that. But this is just Cheech Marin... just dials it up.
George Clooney just beat the shit out of
him. Love it. Yeah, I love it. I actually love this whole bar scene. I like a good rough bar scene anyway, and this is one of the great ones.
Yeah. This place is amazing.
Here's what I love. Look at Clooney's face. Like, he's like, oh, this is where I belong. Like, this is my kind of place, which is most people's kind of place. But, like,
titties everywhere.
This is pretty much what it looks like when we go to Vegas and we go to a gentleman's club. That's what I look like when I walk in. Like, great band. It's an actual band. I can't remember their name.
That band should have been the fucking Desperado guys.
Yes. Yeah, that's an actual band. That was their music they used. I saw that in the soundtrack. So to set the scene, if anybody hadn't seen, like, they're in an old, well, you don't know, at the very end you find out what it is, but it appears to be like an old, I guess church is the word for it, and there's just naked women and Danny Trejo in an awesome vest serving whiskey. It's crazy, right?
It looks good, though. Yeah, he does. This is the only downfall to being filmed on film and the frame rate of the time and stuff, is that when the camera does move fast, like it panned through the bar there, it got real blurry.
It blurs. I noticed that. I didn't realize that's why. I'm glad you told me that, because I didn't know. I picked up on that several times.
This was probably shot at like 30 frames a second, and now TVs run at like 60 frames a second, so
right.
You can't keep up. So it just blurs it all out.
Yeah, that's actually very interesting.
I've noticed that with old, if you watch old hand-drawn cartoon movies, like the, like I watched the Robin Hood that's with the foxes.
Oh yeah, that's one of my jams. Yeah, no.
If you watch it now, the frame rate for when they were making it was so low that now you can see like it'll be like a lot of like in between shots, because the in between shots are not fully colored in. A lot of it is like stencils. So, but when you moved it real fast, like a flip book,
it didn't matter.
It all blended together. But that's because it used to be running at a lot lower frame rate. Now that the frame rate's higher, you can see those in between shots. So it makes it look weird.
That's it. I've picked up on it and did not smart enough to know that. That was a great scene right there, where he's like, "This is for truck drivers." And he's like, "I'm a truck driver. I drive that Winnebago out there." And then it's just a lot of boobs.
Not wrong with that.
This is good. I love this band. Like, they're just, they really set the, like, they really, his son's smiling, chugging. Like, this is actually a fucking awesome scene.
Yeah, who wouldn't want to hang out at this bar?
So right? That's cool. What I said. It's actually super cool. That's why, I guess. Then we get to the end. He's like, you couldn't have met anywhere else. And the guy's like, ah, you know, it's just a place. And he's like, wait, the titty twister is just a place? No, it's obviously not. Oh, yeah, Stevie Ray and his brother, I think it's
Booker T.
Randy, maybe, are on the soundtrack, big part of the soundtrack.
I want to show somebody this movie that has no idea.
Right.
Tom Savini. But has no idea about the twist. And just
what's
like,
about
yeah,
that?
Watch this movie. Because
well,
there's no hint. There's
nope.
Nothing that is like, hey,
nope.
Bunch of fucking vampires about to show up.
Oh, I promised my buddy I'd do a shout out. I work with him. And he said, this happened just like 2 days ago. He's kind of a weirdo anyway, in a good way, not a bad way. But he's like, you ever seen the movie Dust Till Dawn? I said, funny story. So getting ready to do a commentary on it this weekend. And he wanted me to shout out the crotch pistol that Sex Machine just busted
Sex
out right
machine.
There. He goes, you ever seen a movie where he bust out the crotch? He said, I want to get, because he's in a band. He goes, I want to get one that shoots like t-shirts or something. And I was like, so I promised Wes, shout out to Wes, that I would shout out the crotch pistol in the movie. I love this.
Yeah,
I just
like
Sex
Machine, the best name of a character ever.
And that's his name, Sex Machine. Yeah, my wife had never seen the movie, but unfortunately she knew the twist, and so she didn't know when, and she was still like, she was kind of like me when I first saw it, like it's at some point she's like, well, maybe I'm wrong about it being a, you know, a vampire movie, but still she knew, so she had a heads up. But it's, that's what I mean, I'm like, I want to see the rest of this movie like an alternate ending. I don't know, it's, I think it's
yeah,
fantastic.
No vampire twist. Yeah.
But then I also appreciate that they did that. I don't know. It goes both ways.
These kids could not be taking these shots. Like,
no.
I hate taking shots. I'm 36 years old.
Oh, especially of bad whiskey. I'll drink a good whiskey, but I hate taking a shot of bad whiskey.
I finally tried The Rock's. The Rock has a
tequila.
Tequila, yeah, Teremana. I tried it last night. It's actually pretty good.
Yeah, it's really good. George Clooney, speaking of which, has an awesome tequila.
Does he?
Yeah. Yeah, it's very, very good. We always have it on the shelf around here. It's a high-end. He's been doing it for about 10 years now. The name's escaping me. I can't believe it's escaping me because it's literally sitting on my, like it's sitting in our bar area. Oh, it's freaking fantastic. Yeah, he saw it, like he doesn't sign it. His signature's on every bottle. Oh, wait a minute. We got a shout out. The Shaft shows up in this movie.
Yeah.
Richard Roundtree.
He's
who thought to.
He's fucking
who,
jacked in this, too.
Dude, he's just a man. I'm always like, I'm male or whatever, but that's a man. Like, I'm like 60% Roundtree at best on my best day. He's such a dude.
I really like the Sam Jackson Shaft. He's in
there. You
too.
Go. Shout out to. Yeah. I love it. It's really good. It's a really good movie.
They made another one a couple years ago. That's in that same universe.
Yeah,
all three of them. There's three Shafts.
Yes, there's three.
It's Roundtree, yep. Jackson, and the kid that plays the speedster on The Boys.
Yes, I like
it
that.
Good.
Pretty good actor. Pretty good actor.
Yeah, he's not bad.
I think he's really good.
He's in
What's
Smile?
I haven't seen Smile. I need to watch that.
Do yourself a
yeah,
favor.
I know. I know. What stinks about it is I got to. There we go. I haven't watched these movies, so then I can't listen to the podcast about them. So I got all these podcasts loaded that like of you guys or other people. But that's like my favorite thing is to watch a movie and then turn on a podcast. But here we go. This is I don't know how else to explain this, people, except for
best part of the movie.
it's Hall of Fame level. It's
yeah,
just
it's boner material 101.
It is literally one of the. So if anybody doesn't know, it's Selma Hayek dance number, and she is at the top, not just at the top of her game. We're talking top of most,
yeah, top of anybody's game.
Unbelievable.
I mean, she could still do this scene now.
Oh,
hot as fuck. She's like 60 years old.
Bro, we just watched the most recent Magic Mike that she's in, and she is like, I mean, she's just everything. I don't even know, like, how do you describe Selma Hayek other than she's just everything.
Yep.
But this
scene, this must have been the best day of Quentin Tarantino's life.
Oh my, right? I would say it's the best day of most people's life.
Yeah, it's true.
And it's a, you know, another thing about this, you know, as far as the nostalgia of it, this was one of the first, not first, but like early viral scenes that you could like get like on the internet. Like it like dial up internet, the Selma Hayek Dust Till Dawn scene was super, super popular. Like everybody downloaded it and watched it, you know. Because it's not like, it wasn't like, this stuff wasn't on demand. You couldn't just go queue up Dust to Dawn whenever you wanted. Like, if you had the video, I guess. But this scene, like, you could find it in terrible low definition frame rate. Jeezy Pete's. Could have done without the snake. Don't love snakes.
No, I don't like snakes, but I mean.
It's real, though, right?
Lucky snake. Oh, that's definitely real, yeah.
It's real. Oh, and here, right? I think it's right. Not here. It's coming. There's no way that this was an accident. It's not this one. They come back to a shot. Come on. It's coming. But anyway, the snake is tucked between her thighs in such a way that I'm like, there's no way that accidentally happened.
Yeah.
I must have missed it. But anyway, it was up in there. I was like, no, that didn't. Jeezy Pete's.
Yeah, I mean, she's just.
I know. I do. Yep. Yep. Just a true. Another great actress. She's not just like inferno hot.
Yeah, she's enjoyable in everything she's in.
Yes. She like I said, the most recent Magic Mike, she did a really good job of kind of playing like, I don't know, kind of unhinged, crazy, also still sexy. I would say that there's the outside shot that Rodriguez didn't tell Tarantino that she was going to stick her foot in his mouth just for to see how funny it was.
Yeah, watch him jizz his pants on set.
Yep. My goodness. So again, we're to this point in the movie thinking, okay, this is the greatest movie ever. George Clooney and Selma Hayek are going to, and then everything just gets turned on its ear.
Yeah. It's like, we're just waiting to deliver the cash. You're like, oh, just yeah?
Unreal. And then you're like, oh, Selma Hayek, the rest of the movie is going to belong to her. Not necessarily.
Yeah. I mean, this whole scene, you're just waiting to be like, when's that top going to get popped?
Yeah.
It does not take the turn that you think it's going to take.
Yeah. She was at the point to where they didn't have Selma Hayek boob money.
No.
Because I remember when the movie Swordfish with Halle Berry. That was a big deal of how much she got out of them to have a topless scene. I mean, she's sitting in a bathing suit, but... That was a huge deal.
That's incredible.
Yeah, Selma could have charged whatever she wanted. I'd say she would. So if she's pushing, she's under 30 there. I think she's under 30 right there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she's not. She's probably pushing 30.
She's close to 30 because she's almost 60 now. She's like 50.
Yeah, so I was going to say, yeah. So I would say she's right about 30 and just, she's fully bloomed. I mean, my goodness.
I mean, George Clooney didn't have a bad set for seat for this scene either. He got to stare at her ass.
Right. Uh-oh. Now Cheech is here to ruin everything. But again, right now you're sure that George Clooney is going to have sex with Selma Hayek at some point. Like you're positive. Like nothing's going to go wrong. Everything's cool. And then... And then, what a wild movie. Oh, yeah, we're at 1 hour. This is when things go crazy.
He gets stabbed in the hand that he was already shot.
Again.
Oh, Danny Trejo. He's been stabbed. Oh. And you're like, oh, how are they going to get out of this alive?
Yeah.
It's like,
Or you're like, oh, what they're going to take. At this point, you're also like, I don't know. They're going to take Selma Hayek hostage. Like, because that's the precedence they've set. You know what I mean? Like, oh, they're going to grab her and they're going to be out the door. Like, that's what's going to happen, surely.
They got 900 people around him. They just lit him up.
And I know it's ridiculous to point it out, but George Clooney's got a six-shot revolver and is currently shot about 37 times out of it.
Yeah. They just showed the knife that Tarantino was stabbing with has green blood on it.
Oh, yeah. I kind of missed that last night. Now we got, and guess what? Still hot. I don't even care.
Yeah, I would. Still would.
Yep. Selma Hayek part vampire is still gorgeous. What do you think of the look? Like,
she becomes like a monster vampire.
Yeah. What do you think of the choice of the vampire look? Because that's always a choice, you know.
Yeah, it's different. It's always weird when they go like sort of monster. Because not everybody else does. Everybody else just kind of goes like.
Some of them are like a form of themselves almost.
Yeah, like a wrinkly face, like a Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Vampire. Yeah, yeah, that's a good, actually, that's the, especially Trejo.
Yeah, she becomes like some sort of cobra-headed monster.
Yeah, there's Trejo. It's just obviously Vampire Trejo. All of them. Yeah, that's a good question. Why did she? She must be some sort of. We're insinuating that she's some sort of. There you go. The penis gun blows Trejo away. Wonder if she's some sort of like superior queen. Vampire, maybe, and that's why she looks a little.
They all like look different.
You know, now it's sort of like a. Did you watch Buffy the series? I think.
Yeah.
Sort of like how the master, the older evolved vampire looked a little less human. Maybe that's what we're supposed to believe.
Yeah, maybe she's super old. Yeah.
Oh, that's a good one. This scene
just goes nuts. Imagine seeing this if you had no idea what was going to happen. You went from a regular, normal like hostage movie to a bunch of vampires. The band is vampires and they're playing body guitars.
The band's playing a body guitar. That is insane. Yeah, shit is just completely off the rails.
Cheech just looks like a Klingon.
Very, very Klingonish.
He looks like Worf.
He sure does. That's a great observation. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you mentioned that. Even little brother in this does a pretty good job.
Oh, shit. She shoved her cross in his mouth.
Oh, I missed that. That was a good melt. I like that.
That's awesome. He's melted all over.
Okay, that was...
Oh, that is disgusting.
That was cool.
Holy shit.
Big fan of the practical effects are awesome. Even if they're bad, they're awesome. Oh, that's a good one. Throw her on a tabletop.
That's cool.
That is actually
all four of them.
That's really good. That's really good.
You got every leg.
That's cool.
Very nice.
More Selma. Perfect hair. Perfect makeup.
Yeah, she's just gorgeous. Imagine being hit so hard you fly across a room.
Yeah. Sex machine. Don't know much about this actor.
That's Tom Savini.
So, is it who I think it is?
He's a legendary makeup effects artist. But then he started getting involved in actual like producing and directing. He directed the remake of Night of the Living Dead.
Oh, really? Okay, so... I didn't realize that he was just not in my knowledge base. Does a great job.
Yeah,
I just love him in this movie.
Yeah, I mean, this is definitely his type of movie.
Oh,
and
this is good.
He's behind all of the effects here.
So I did not realize that. So that's cool. That's really cool.
Yeah,
that's good.
He's a cool guy.
That's good.
He fucking loves horror. Oh, his eyeballs went into the fucking...
Yeah,
the
nice touch.
On the pool table.
Jeezy, Pete. You know, I know we don't get to choose how we go in this world, but death by Selma Hayek's feet, I'm in.
Yeah, I mean, if she wanted me to be her slave, I mean, I'd take it.
Yep. Which arm would you like, ma'am? I like the look, though, but you're right. As she's the only one that looks like that. Oh, yeah, and then weird. Now it's over.
Yeah, I mean, they're getting real lucky that everything around this place seems to be pointy.
Pointy and made of wood. It's very fortunate. One thing I do... Oh, this is good. This is one of my favorite vampires. He's
enormous.
Cashing necks or cashing checks and cracking. Yo, monkey man. He called him... Richard Rauchy is so good. He tore out
his heart.
He tore his heart right out of his chest. That's a shout out to like the old Kung Fu movies, I would imagine. That's what it kind of felt like.
That's amazing.
That was great.
How's he still alive? Yeah, stake the heart.
He said, that's enough. Why is that? No, it's not enough. It's a giant vampire that tried to rip your head off. Oh, there you go. You can just stake that. Oh, that's actually a really good idea, though, as far as, like, the vampire lore of it.
Like, yeah, like, you can even rip his heart out, but as long as you can stake it.
Yeah, this is really
pencil.
Cool. I like that's great. I actually like that a lot. That's pretty smart. Yeah, I'm a big vampire movie fan, like all types of them, especially this type, but all types of vampires. I like every form of vampire movie.
Yeah, I love vampire movies as long as they're done right. Now that they're getting all CGI, they're not as great. Give us practical effects, people. That's what it's all about.
Yep. I totally agree with that. I like my favorite vampires, probably a collection. I'm a big Underworld fan of the Underworld series. I like how they did the wolves and the vampires in that. That's one of my favorite series.
Yeah, I love a big werewolf monster, man.
Yeah.
I don't want an on all fours, just I turn into a wolf.
No.
Give me
I need
fucking a monster.
I need an actual werewolf. I actually don't hate the. When they remade, I think it was Banderas. I think it was Anthony Hopkins. He was in it.
Oh, the Wolfman? Yeah, with
the Wolfman. It was
Benicio del Toro.
Yeah, del Toro. That was pretty racist of me just to think of another.
Meh.
Yeah. But,
yeah, I like that movie. That movie gets a lot of shit. I thought that movie was done pretty well.
I thought it was pretty good. I thought they did a lot of cool stuff. And I like the classic, the classic monster movies, I guess you want to call them the universal monsters or whatever, but like I've read like Mary Shelley's, I've read The Wolfman, I've read The Invisible Man, like all the originals, and I like that form of the movie. That's some of my favorite shit. Like even Mary Shelley's Frankenstein with De Niro, I still like the movie even though it's just all right, I still really enjoy it.
Yeah, the movie's fucked up.
I would imagine the guy that played Frankenstein in that probably directed that, I'm sure, right? I always forget
Kenneth
his name.
Brenna,
yeah, Kenneth. I would imagine he directed it.
Yeah, he directs a lot, yeah.
He does. He's a pretty good director, but not...
Yeah, he's a pretty good actor, too. I like him a lot.
I think I like him as an actor a lot, actually.
He directed the first Thor movie.
Yes. Yes, pretty good.
Yeah.
See, this is where you kind of get the payoff of, like, his brother's dead, but he also is like, it's probably for the best. So I guess the payoff of the hotel was this here.
Yeah.
Instead of like, see, now he doesn't want him to kill his brother. That's interesting here. A little bit of a philosophical.
Yeah, they always kind of have this character in a movie. Like, hey, your wife got turned into a zombie, and it's like, oh, she stole my wife. And it's like,
right.
You've been hunting zombies all goddamn movie.
Yeah, you know that they're not still your...
Now, is he just seeing this? Because his face is all different now.
I'm not... That's a good question. I really don't know what they were going for there. I think... They kind of mix the type of vampires, like how they want them, like you said, like you got everything from monster to barely changed.
He looks like Frankenstein with the full effects on his forehead's enormous. Yeah. I love having that argument. I've had that argument a lot lately about Frankenstein. Because people are always like, it's Frankenstein's monster.
I heard you guys bring that up. I heard you guys bring that up. And I'm always... You know, I'm always the guy that's like, you know, it's Frankenstein's monster because, like I said, I'm just such a fan of the book and stuff. But I also am a hypocrite because I still just call him Frankenstein because it's easier.
Yeah.
So I'm
they
both.
He created him. He's his son. So technically he's a Frankenstein.
Yeah. Fan. Well, that is the biggest thing in the book is that he never, Dr. Frankenstein wouldn't give him a name. And that bothers the monster the entire book. That's the whole thing about the monsters. He won't take credit for him as his father. And so, like, that's what, like, it really, the monster is, like, that's his biggest problem in the book is that he'll never accept him as his son. And even though he calls him father, so that's actually a huge part of it is that he wouldn't give him the credit of being a Frankenstein. And that's all the monster wanted. It's actually super interesting.
Eventually.
Yeah. And then, like, yeah, and then he, at the end of the thing, Dr. Frankenstein finally like dies like in his arms or whatever years later.
Yeah,
there's actually a really cool version. They started to do movies to where it was modern day and he had lived, you know, and he became like kind of a what do you want to call it, like an Avenger, like, you know what I mean? Like solve crimes behind the scenes. And they wrote the books and they started making the show and it didn't do very well. So they canceled it. And so there was actually this really cool storyline to where Frankenstein lived in like New Orleans and was like solving crimes behind, but it sounds crazy, but it was actually pretty good. And it just didn't get picked up. But I've got three of the books that they wrote. They're actually really cool.
Yeah, well, they did I, Frankenstein. Did you see that?
Yeah, this is sort of in that genre, and I think that's where they took the idea of that and then made I, Frankenstein. I think that's what they wind up doing with it.
Underworld. I think that's made by the same people that did Underworld.
Yes.
It's very similar.
It's really not very good.
I don't remember hating it, but I don't think it was that great either.
Well, like you said, they went too much on like the jumping around and special effects and all that rather than like... I don't, and plus they got the actor to play him, Eric, no, his name's Eric. Not a great casting for it. Same guy that played the terrible Two-Face in The Dark Knight. Aaron.
Did you see, Aaron Eckhart?
Aaron Eckhart.
Did you see, what was it, Dracula Untold?
I have not seen it yet.
That's not too bad.
I definitely will. So now we've got
it's pretty fun. It's got some janky. Some effects are a little janky, but some effects are really good.
Yeah, definitely on my list. So now we've got our we're down to our group of ragtag misfit vampire killers.
Do it, Julia Louise Dreyfus. What's her name?
Juliette Lewis.
From Seinfeld. Juliette Lewis. Elaine from Seinfeld.
From Seinfeld, the vampire killer. She could pull it off.
Jesus. They all seem to have very blunt objects that they're staking vampires with.
Yeah, really. That's just a table leg. What I do love about this, is this where we get to the part where, like... it's almost like they live in a world to where like you've watched vampire movies and stuff because they get to this part and they're immediately like, okay, what do we know about vampires? Like even though they didn't think they were real until this very second, they're just like, oh, they're real. And here's what we know from all the movies we've seen of how to kill them. And As to where if you actually saw like one of these real monsters, you'd be like, everything's out the window. Like, what? But I kind of like how they acknowledge, like they just accept that they're real and they just move on. That's pretty cool right there. Just a, ugh.
Stuff.
Nice shot.
Limbs with holes with limbs. Yeah, my favorite part of this whole movie is when they get into the stock room here.
Oh, I'm sure you, yeah.
Make a bunch of weapons.
Yep. That it, like I said, there's so many like different types of movies in this one movie. And of course we have the, like you said, the another obligatory, a guy gets bit and doesn't tell anybody. So we've got,
yep.
We've got, sex machine is bit. Nobody knows, even though the blood would just be running out of his sleeve because a vampire tore half his forearm off.
Yeah. But let me put my jacket back on.
Yeah. A little of it's part, almost like some of the stuff they do is kind of like zombie-ish too, as far as like, I'm bit, I've only got so much time, and, you know, a little bit of it crosses over to some of the stuff they do with like zombie movies too.
I love how he's just like, I'll buy that. Yeah, sure, that'll work. Put two pieces.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Garlic, sunlight, holy water. Yeah, I love the silver. That's werewolves. I know he says.
Yeah, that's something they've really adopted into the vampire world that I don't like. I like that silver is exclusively to werewolves. I don't like it being vampire related.
Oh, yeah, it's definitely werewolves. I'm a huge fan of werewolf movies, too. There just aren't as many to choose from.
No, there isn't a ton of good ones.
Yeah, we need more good.
A lot of times they cheap out and they'll just be like, oh, let's not show it, or
yeah,
it's just a wolf.
Yeah, I like, that's what I said. I like the version of them in Underworld. That's like, that's, I like
yeah,
the,
pretty beasty.
Yeah, I like that a lot. The lichens, I guess. They don't call them werewolves, obviously, but it's, we know what the fuck they are.
We know what's going down.
I remember growing up on American Werewolf in London. That was a big deal when I was growing up in the 80s.
I really like Silver Bullet. Have you ever seen that?
Yes. That was going to... Yeah. I don't know. Maybe I don't know great. If I did ask you about it. That was when we were talking about doing a movie.
Oh, yeah. I think we did talk about that. Yeah,
I mentioned it. That's before. One of my favorite. Yeah, that's time. One of my... I love that movie. And that was a movie that when it first came out, because like I didn't... When I was young, I didn't watch quote-unquote scary movies. I just... was like that big time. And so when Silver Bullet came out, I didn't watch it right away because I was like, it's too scary for me to watch. And so then finally, as I got a little older, I started watching. Then I watch it and I'm like, holy shit, I love this movie. It's not even really, it's a frightening movie, but it's not really a scary movie. It's just a good fucking movie. Gary Busey's all like,
yeah, Gary Busey's great in it.
Yeah. That's Corey Haim, right? Correct. I get him.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Corey Haim. Yeah. He's great in that movie. R.I.P. Corey Haim. Man, that was another tragic story. But he's so good in that movie.
Yeah, yeah, that's a really good movie. A lot of people you were like, oh shit, they're in there. The fucking guy,
yeah.
The bald guy from Lost is in there.
Yeah, right? Yeah. That's one of my favorite Stephen King adaptations. I don't love Stephen King, but when it's good, I really like him, but... As a whole, I don't love everything he does, but that's one of the ones that I'm like, this is fucking good.
Yeah, yeah, his stuff is hard to adapt. I think that came out in 85, and when we talked about it on the show, it was 85, and that was like the 11th adaptation of his work in the 80s already in 5 years.
Oh, it was crazy. That's all it was back then. Some of it was really good. Some of it wasn't. They've remade a lot. They've rebooted a lot of his stuff. I could see, like, that's one of those. If they wanted to do, like, redo Silver Bullet now, I'd watch it. If they did it correctly, I would take another version of it. Especially with, if you did it modern. Because sometimes it's fun just to see how things would be done with modern technology. Like, what would you do? Like, obviously the kid's chair would be different. All these things would be different. But sometimes that's fun to see.
Yeah.
Of course, mobile phones have almost... I don't even know how you write a movie now with the existence of mobile phones, because it's made things so hard to like write around.
Yeah, my answer for that is always set it in the 80s.
Yeah, yeah, no, you're totally right. Now, did you watch the HBO version of, the comic? Sorry, I'm escaping me now. Watchmen? Did you watch that?
I haven't watched the show, no.
Okay, so what they did in that, this doesn't ruin anything. They literally just, the universe that it takes place in doesn't have mobile phones. They don't ever acknowledge it. They don't talk about it. Just it's set in current time. All this other technology exists except no mobile phones. And so it makes the show so much easier to watch because you don't have all these loopholes of like, why didn't you just call somebody? They just don't exist. It's really cool.
That is weird.
And you kind of don't notice.
I love this. Her sex machine starts turning into a vampire.
Oh, man.
Like, notices he has fangs and shit.
That was really cool. He's aware of it.
This whole scene has always stuck with me. Richard Roundtree's giving this huge monologue. While the sex machine's off here turning into a werewolf. Just the way he, like, pops up behind
yep.
him.
Yep.
Is so funny.
And he's showing everybody how to kill him, and they're all paid. This is actually a really good scene. There it is. I love this.
Oh, no.
And he realizes it. And Roundtree still just showing him. This is good. Show his fingers growing. Early CGI work.
Yeah. At least they make it look pretty decent.
Oh, I think so. I think it's good. And the kid's like, oh, he's fine. Yeah. He's talking about killing people in Vietnam. That's what it was.
They're just like, Jesus, right here. He gives him like spirit fingers on his shoulders.
Great stuff. That was just a classic horror movie like scene.
Sex machine looks like a rat.
Yeah, it's almost like they told him like make him look however you want. We don't care. And you got free reign. Harvey Keitel gets thrown into the whiskey.
I mean, this one vampire is fucking more people up than the whole Barvel of right? vampires did.
Come on, sex machine.
Such a great name.
It's just wonderful.
Just rip his heart out again. Oh, shit.
Oh, the bats. Yeah. That's actually, that's Roundtree winds up being one of my favorite looking vampires. I thought they did a good job with him. Yeah, I think he looks cool. I think he looks cool shit. Yeah. I didn't realize like how much this influenced the Buffy the Vampire series. There's a lot of similarities in how they do. I bet a lot of the technology and stuff crossed over. That's really cool.
I mean, you got that door lock. Just hang out there until the sun comes up.
Mm-hmm.
It would suck, but whatever.
Yeah, you only got a few more hours. I think it's also
Harvey
cool.
Keitel's out here by himself.
Yep. It's also cool, too. Like, imagine you call Harvey Keitel up, this guy who's, you know, nominated for Oscars, you know, all these movies, and you call him up, and you're like, okay, here's the character. And he's like, yeah, I'll do it. I'll be an ex preacher hostage.
I love his cross shotgun that he makes.
Yeah, cool. See, they all look totally different too. So there's like so many different forms of these vampires.
Set the bar on fire, Keitel. I think it is on fire.
Nice.
Where they shot this wrong, and he does set it on fire, but this is filmed where it definitely... See, because you can see...
Yeah, there's definitely flames.
I swore he set the bar on fire.
Now, for the record, if the that's right, they do see they do explain that loophole, because my first thought was like, well, why wouldn't everybody just grab a cross? But they said that you had to be committed to it for it to work.
Yeah, he's a man.
That's right. Yeah. I like that.
Well,
I like that,
no
though.
There's no time frame here on how long it takes to turn into a vampire, though.
No, not
Shaft
at all.
Shaft turned into a vampire in like 2 seconds.
Yeah, this guy's got a while. Because, I mean, they build the armory. I do like the speech, though. He's like, I'm going to die. Do this. This is all really good. Because they close a lot of the loop. They close a lot of the loopholes in these vampire movies to where you're like, well, why didn't you adjust? Or they kind of try to address some of that, as ridiculous as it is. There's probably a good spoof out there somewhere to where you do this Dusk to Dawn, but when they start turning into vampires, they're like the vampires from Twilight. And they're like super laid back and sparkly.
Sparkling off a disco ball.
Yeah. It would turn into Studio 54 is what it would look like, instead of the twisted nipple. Or titty twister. What was it? Titty twister, right?
Titty twister, yeah.
That's it, titty twister.
They get lucky they find so much cool shit in this fucking back room, though.
Wait, I just realized there's sunglasses and little action figures. What the fuck kind of... Look at that. That's pretty cool.
Super Soaker. I always thought that was the best, the fucking jackhammer.
Yeah, jackhammer wood stake. This is a pretty neat little gathering. All these like arming up, ammunition, equipping yourself scenes are cool. And any way they do them in a movie, I'm a fan. Montage, like a classic, kind of an A-team style montage. Yeah. Like, I love it. Always a fan.
Crossbow.
Oh, yeah. That's actually a super dope crossbow.
Yeah, I love this fucking just arming yourself up montage.
Yeah, good stuff. It's almost, this part's almost built like a video game. I never played the video game, but I wonder if it was similar to this, because it's like each character has their own weapon. I would have had like six weapons. They just all grab one.
Yeah, that'd be fun. I would totally take a video game just to this, just this end part. Make it one level.
Yeah, I never even heard of it until yesterday when it said they made one, but it never came across my bow. So it's probably like one of those old like Windows 98 computer games or something. Because I even had a Buffy the Vampire video game back in the day. It was pretty cool, actually. Yeah, it was what you think. You just run around killing vampires and making wisecracks, but it had pretty good action. I can't remember the engine that ran it, but it was pretty good. It was fun.
I remember on my computer back in the day, I got it in a cereal box. There was a Chex PC game called Chex Man.
Okay.
It was like a superhero, but it was like Doom. It was first person like shooter.
Oh, nice.
Fucking cool.
Was like one of those little CDs. They used to have like, they were like little like 2-inch CDs you would get.
Oh, like a micro disc.
Yeah, no, micro disc.
It was a full CD.
Nice. Computer games were crazy.
Yeah, I don't much like playing with a mouse and keyboard.
No, I was glad when they started advancing the consoles. I remember playing Half-Life on a keyboard, man. That was that was a lot.
Yeah, my buddy always said he preferred it, and I'm just like, okay, whatever you say, dude.
Yeah.
Just start hucking water balloons.
That's what I was thinking. It feels like I would have blessed, like, maybe, I don't know, maybe they had limited water.
He's got that super soaker. Just start spraying it.
Right.
You're better off keeping him in that tunnel than going out into the big room.
They make a lot of strategic bad choices here, really. I think there was another... I think there was more options than just fighting him.
They had a ton of bottles back there of alcohol. Just empty them all out and fill them with water.
Yeah.
And just bless them and start hucking them at people. It's just like a standoff.
Yeah. See, like right there. Like make up all the water balloons you can find.
Yeah, I mean, what's she got? Four fucking arrows in this
That's
thing?
What I was sure thinking. Like
she
she's going to
run out for the rest of the movie. That's so great. It's such a creative fucking
Yeah,
movie.
That is pretty cool. That reminds me of some of the old, like again, that's, that kind of reminds me of some of the old zombie movies where they come up with these creative weapons to kill them.
See, if holy water sets them on fire, that's all you need. Go over and bless the fucking water spout behind the bar and start
and
spraying
it. Just keep
it all
spraying.
Over
that's Yep. Now we got an actual vampire bat. Yeah, so we got a bat one. There's all kinds of versions of these vampires. Sex machine's still around. Oh, this is good. I do like this. This is a good kill.
Yank his head off.
Yeah, snaps his head off with the whip. No, I like that. That was pretty funny.
And he turns into like a rat monster, right?
Oh, yeah, that's right. But he was so hard to kill. Like, it's weird. Why was that vampire so much harder to kill?
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
No, there's no precedence for the rat that turned into the rat monster once you ripped their head off.
Yeah. He's a chupacabra.
That's funny because you picked up on that. He looked like a rat the whole time. Wonder what the thought. There had to be a thought process behind that we'll never know.
Yeah, he probably made this. This beforehand and was like, I'd really like to put this in a movie.
I think you nailed it. It looks good though.
Yeah, it looks fucking scary as hell.
Like if they were all like this they would have had no fucking shot.
Arrow to the head. Set it on fire.
Nope. Still.
Oh, yeah. Set it on fire.
No, I think you're right.
Why does it explode?
I think you're right. I think he's like, no. They let him go a little bit. Have his moment.
Oh, impaled him with a gun. Michael Myers style.
Nice. Yes. Only my... I loved you mentioned he stuck a double-barreled shotgun through a woman and nobody heard it.
Yeah, no one heard it. Ridiculous. Ew. He's all ooey-gooey. Yeah, his face is great. That prosthetic must have sucked to wear.
Oh, what the fuck?
They're getting real lucky these things are only really attacking them one by one.
It's always a flaw in every freaking monster movie. You sure three of you don't want to go? Nope, just one. Or every Steven Seagal movie. Same principle. Yep. We're gonna just attack them one at a time. Oh, he's turning. That's a good looking mask too.
Hightail has changed. Yeah,
that looks pretty good.
Different.
Yeah, that looks good. Oh, that's right. I forgot. Aww.
Why'd you let yourself get bit, homeboy?
I forgot about that.
Poor kid's got to shoot his own dad. Jesus.
Nice explosion.
Scott, you just blew up dad's head.
Oh.
And then gets torn apart by vampires.
Yeah, this is a pretty rugged scene.
Too bad. You got balloons on you there, homeboy.
I would say as far as like the movie goes, like this like scene like here, they probably drug it out a little bit. Like all they've been through, like she would have pulled that trigger and like pretty quick.
Yeah. Well, from that distance, she ain't going to hit him right in the
head. No, that's what I was thinking too. Yeah, never shot a gun.
Why is everybody exploding?
I don't know. They didn't. Nothing started exploding until 2 minutes ago. Now everybody's made of freaking hydrogen. What is happening?
He wasn't even a vampire yet. Like, you can't be like, oh, the bullets had crosses on. Yeah, he was in the middle.
Why would
of
he
being
explode?
Eaten. They've been in here for 12 hours already?
Yeah, the time frame is a little, because they never really take a break. Like, as you watch the movie, like, it kind of happens in real time, honestly. Outside of the montage of getting the weapons ready, but they didn't do that. Like, if they would have said, hey, let's take a nap and then go out there, which they should have waited for daylight regardless before they went out. I do like the effect of the sunlight here. It's pretty cool. This is a pretty good scene. The beams of sun kind of crossing around them and back to back.
Yeah.
You do feel like the way this is going, that they really thought that there might be a second movie with these two or something.
Yeah, I mean, why not?
My wife even said that. She's like, I need to see the next movie with these two, like, on the run or robbing banks or what the fuck ever. Like you said, whatever. The third version of Cheech Marin is here. With the classic porn stash. Oh, the disco ball. That's pretty cool. I like it. Wow. Now they're like on fire. Like
everybody's exploding.
It's a great conversation. Great conversation. Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Why is a piano exploding?
Makes no sense. This is pretty good. And this dude just says, what was going on in there?
It's such a good excuse for the title of the movie, though.
Yeah, it is. I love it. He says, one place is just as good as another. He says, have you ever been here before? I love it. He says, no, I drove by it a couple times.
The one kind of...
Yeah, the one kind of Easter egg at the end is I've never noticed it before yesterday because I'm typically checked out.
But like this, psychos.
Psychos don't explode when sunlight hits them. Jeez, this is
a fuck how crazy they are.
This is a great conversation. He says, "How can I make it up to you?" He's like, her whole family's dead. My brother's dead. And then he comes up with a number. Oh, see, he was paying him to stay in El Rey. That's where I knew he alluded to it somewhere. He needed his help. Which El Rey was taken from an old, I want to say that it came from a movie that was made like back in the 50s or 60s. It was alluding to that. An old Western or something.
I feel like El Rey might be where Desperado's set as well.
Yeah, it probably is. Yeah, I bet it is. And that's where it came from, is a much older movie. He says, you want a cold beer? I love it. Then he says it again. Come on, they're cold. I love this scene. I think it was necessary. I think this scene was necessary.
Yeah, I like the cool pan over shot we're about to get here.
Yeah, and then you find out it's a freaking, like an ancient pyramid.
Aztec
I think that's
temple or something.
Yeah, right? I thought that was freaking awesome. So I said there's like so much like little in-depth things that weren't necessary, but really make the movie what it is. But she's great at this type of role, like anguished, but well, roll with the punches kind of character.
Yeah. No, definitely.
She's certainly the right choice. Because you can believe at one point that she was Harvey Keitel's daughter and everything, but you can also believe that, like, her and Clooney might make a run at it.
Yeah. Partners and then, in crime.
Yeah, yeah. Like, it she pulls it off. Like, it's a lot of character development for 12 hours, you know, of time. Good stuff. I like it that they don't even mask, like, they don't even, like, make Cheech look different. Like, it's just Cheech in three different roles.
He just grew his mustache.
I think it's great. And then it becomes just like, something that happened. You know what I mean? Like, it's just part of, it's like something that happened to him. I guess if, like, instead of a sequel, what I would recommend people, like, right after this, maybe watch, like, Desperado, like, just to keep with the kind of feeling, you know, of the universe, or maybe before it, watch Reservoir Dogs, like, anything in that kind of circle, I think plays along well with this.
That's why I'm shocked that, like, Grindhouse isn't better, because it's the same people that made this.
Yeah. That's true. There it is. I think that's a really cool shot that you find out that it's a top
like, look
of
at
this.
All these like trucks and cars all broken down and thrown down here because they've just been killing people and hiding it
forever. And it kind of transforms into one of the old style, like, I don't know, you might see a painting like that in like a Mexican restaurant. Like, it kind of looks like that at the very end. I think that was pretty cool. I just got to point out there, because this is the guy's name. One of Cheech Marin's characters, I'll assume, was obviously the middle character. His name was Chet Pussy. That was his name. So, shout out to Chet, man.
Of course it was. Chet.
No, that was cool.
Great movie.
That was cool. That was a good choice. It's funny because in mine, just for the record, like, brings up also watched. You got a couple more Dust of Dawns. You got The Faculty. You got Natural Born Killers. You got Sin City. Sin City, definitely my favorite.
Second one on mine is Silver Bullet.
Nice.
Yeah, Dust Till Dawn 2, Silver Bullet, Dracula 2000, Dust Till Dawn 3.
Oh, Dracula 2000 is quietly a bad movie that I kind of like.
Yeah,
I got Death. I got Death Proof. Then it goes into Pulp Fiction, Reservoir Dogs, Vampires. John Carpenter's Vampires, pretty cool.
John Carpenter's Vampires.
Jackie Brown, Evil Dead 2. Like, actually, if you go to your customers, almost watched Army of Darkness. See, that's exactly. That's kind of where I was. Then Desperado. Nice.
We're gonna do the best of the bad here, where we read 1-star reviews of.
Sweet.
A good movie. These are off of IMDb. This one is from August of 2001. It's entitled Hideous. This is one of the worst movies ever made. Violence for violence's sake in its most desensitizing form. Want to see what's wrong with the 20th century culture? Check out this flick. I'm appalled that an actor as good as George Clooney would have agreed to do this pile of crap.
It feels like they said the opposite of everything good we said about it just now.
Yeah, that happens a lot here.
Like, it sounded like everything that they just said was a positive.
Let's see. This one is entitled Amazing. It's from June of 2002. It says, yes, this movie is amazing. I have never seen so incredibly taken aback. Yeah, I hate when people can't write. I have never been so incredibly taken aback by a movie in all my years of film watching. To put it bluntly, this is the worst piece of shit I've ever had the misfortune of watching. Nothing more needs to be said, ... It simply sucked. -1/10
Nice. That's crazy.
And we'll end on this one. This is from 2003. The title is Worst Movie I've Seen Since 1975. Misogynist, Gratuitous Violence.
Yep.
Good Lord. Worst movie I've seen since 1975, where in a student film, a pig's throat was slashed. I was shocked to think the same person who directed Pulp Fiction could have directed and co-starred in this fiasco.
Well, they didn't.
Misogynist, ... and Gratuitous Violence. Yeah, he did not write. He did not direct this. He wrote it.
Yeah, way to do your research.
But like I said, most people think this is a Quentin Tarantino film. So. But that was the best of the bad. This has been From Dusk Till Dawn. Thanks so much for doing this, buddy. This was a blast,
dude. It was an absolute blast. I'm so proud to have done my own. I can't wait to hear it back. I hope it matches up. And I want to say hi to the whole Four Nerds by Nerds family, Tammy, Ben, everybody. High on Horror. Shout out to everybody. You guys give me a lot of hours of entertainment, and I'm happy to contribute just a little bit.
Oh, absolutely. We'll have you back on. We'll have you on High on Horror as well.
Oh, I can't wait. Don't tease me.
Oh, I'm not. We'll get it done. Yeah, it's a good time. Yeah, Jeff's definitely a super fan. He's always pumping us up. 100%.
No, you guys do a great job. Great platform. You know, great layout. Great quality. Everything about it. Just keep doing what you do.
Oh, thanks, buddy. You got anything to plug here at the end of the show?
No, I just, if you want to follow me, I'm on X/Twitter at jhunt006. I'm always doing a ton of guest spots on shows. I'm always, you know, promoting shows like Josh is here or a lot of other. I'm still part of the Off the Ball Sports Network, and we do a ton of sports stuff. So if you're, you know, a movie fan and a sports fan, there's a bunch of us out there. Check out Off the Ball Network. And, you know, I appreciate any time you can follow, listen, you know, review, you know, any of the other stuff I do, because there's, you know, the shows that I guest spot on are very important to me. And, you know, I don't do shows I don't believe in. So, you know, help those guys out, help those, you know, ladies out there, and just keep supporting your hardworking, you know, grinded out podcasters like us, man. It's one of the few, it's the cheapest form of entertainment that you can get the quality that you get right now. So just take it while you can get it. It's awesome.
Absolutely. You should come back with a show called Jeff Loves Everything.
Maybe I will.
You just do whatever you want. Talk about sports, talk about movies, talk about anything.
There's talks. That's all I'll say is there's talks. There's things in the works.
Jeff definitely likes a little bit of everything.
Yes, Jeff is multifaceted. That's for sure.
We'll definitely get you back on sometime soon. If you guys want to follow this show, we are on X/Twitter at FMBN Podcast. We're on Facebook and Instagram at FMBN, the number 4 and the letter U. And we will be back next time with another spooky episode. But until then, I'm Josh.
I'm Jeff.
And this is the Four Nerds by Nerds Podcast signing off. Stay nerdy, my friends.